Every day, Bill Frank...
We're going to be doing one thing and one thing only.
...talks with the best guests in America about business.
You mean business?
Monkey business?
Are you ready to get down to business?
All right! Everybody's here and that means we can get down to business.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
The entertainment capital of the world.
What kind of entertainment?
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Sports.
Game on.
A grueling test of strength, speed, and stamina.
Wow, just like in the pros.
And the local community.
The rage in local radio.
Find out what's going on locally.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time now for the Bill Frank Radio Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Now, here's your host.
Bill Frank.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. You can also hear me streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work in Ventura and Santa Barbara. The Bill Frank Show is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Smorgasbord. Each of my guests has an interesting morsel of knowledge to share with us about his subject. My first guest is a news anchor with a global perspective. You'll recognize his voice immediately from KNX 1070 in Los Angeles. He's a published author in addition to being a newscaster. We'll discuss the massive dislocation of jobs as a result of the development of the internet from his latest ebook, No Barriers. Bob Brill is an award-winning journalist with nearly four decades covering the news. Bob is a former UPI radio news correspondent who covered the Western White House during the Reagan years, the Olympics in Seoul, and various other stories around the country. He's traveled to 27 countries and has a passion for international news and its effect on the Americans here at home. Bob is currently an anchor at KNX 1070 News Radio, which, as you know, is a CBS radio affiliate in Los Angeles, joining us from Simi Valley. Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Good, Bill. I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for being our guest. Love to have you return to the show because you always bring a fresh perspective to whatever you look at. And I like this subject because in your book, No Barriers, you have actually started several businesses beginning in the early days of the internet. And you have watched many of your friends either thrive on the web or get their business handed to them on the web as a result of it. And in your book, you quote, and I'm quoting you here, you call the internet the most dangerous, fraudulent, and criminal-creating, yet dynamic force on the planet and the planet may ever have known. So it sounds very much like a Luddite comment. At the risk of being labeled a Luddite, in what ways has the internet been bad for business and for free speech?
Well, I think, first of all, I have to look at where it was good. And the internet, like the invention of the printing press, was that important. And the computer and those types of things, because it progressed the world to a new dynamic and brought the world to a new turn. No one can ever say the internet is not brought benefits to the world, because it has. Communication, the fact that you're streaming on the web right now is a benefit in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's been bad is that it has transported the job market to something that isn't, I don't believe, really will ever come back to the levels we've seen in the past. What happened was you had people who, first of all, the old model for business was you start a business, you charge a reasonable amount for the products you sell, you have a reasonable markup, you have a 25% margin, 35, 45, actually probably closer to a 50% margin,
mm-hmm.
25% markup, or 100% markup, and you grow your business, the business supports the owner. He expands his business and he hires employees. With the internet, it's just the opposite. What you do is the idea is to make as little as possible per item. In other words, your margins are very thin, maybe 10% in some cases, 5% in others, a little more in some businesses, and not to hire new employees because you don't need them because you're not providing an overhead. You don't have a storefront. You don't have a physical business. Now, every business is doing business somewhere on the internet, and they should. Every business should have a website because you have to do that. What's happened is so many businesses have gone so far to the web, and other businesses that have been created because of the web have killed jobs and aren't coming back. One that is pointed out in our book that Dr. Pamela Falk, who's a correspondent at the UN, points out is that there are no map makers anymore. Why? Who needs them? Google Maps. Google Maps has destroyed that business. Publishing has been obliterated because everything's an ebook now. And you may ask, okay, well, you got an ebook. I've got an ebook because I couldn't find a publisher who's willing to take chances on new authors anymore, even established authors. And movies are the same way. The internet has made it so that the old business model, which is still a viable business model because it creates jobs and profits, has gone the way of the dodo bird, I guess is what you can say, because movie producers, for instance, they know everything ends up on the web so quickly and on the internet that they're afraid to take chances and invest money in legitimate movies. Hmm. All they're doing is remakes that have built-in 60% audiences or animation, which doesn't really cost as far as jobs go. There aren't as many jobs for actors and things like that. So those are just some of the ways that the internet has really changed the business model. When you change the business model and create a new one and leave the old one in the dust, what you do is you destroy jobs and you leave a wasteland.
All right.
In the past.
My guest is Bob Brill. We're talking about his latest ebook, No Barrier, How the Internet Destroyed the World Economy. Bob, I'm going to take the other side of the argument if I can for just a minute, because here on the internet, you're right, there's low overhead, but doesn't that mean something in reverse? It means there's more opportunity for more people to get involved, which spurs entrepreneurism in this country. So
making
any kid working in a garage can start his or her own company.
Making $0. You know, I'll tell you how many people out there have e-books that are making zero. And they're trying to sell their books for 99 cents and getting 35 cents on that 99 cents. It didn't cost them anything to do that, right?
Right.
But they're not making any money. You take bands. How many bands are saying, yeah, I'm all over the internet, my music's out there and everything. Are you supporting any family? Are you creating any jobs? No. You know, same thing with publishing. I mean, the internet, while it made it easier, to be entrepreneurial, it didn't make it easier for an entrepreneur to do what he's supposed to do, and that's make money, create a business, create jobs, expand business, and create more jobs.
All right,
that's
well,
not what's happening.
Let's talk about the issue of margins then, because I think that that's an important issue in all internet businesses. And it's Stuart Brand who's credited as saying, information wants to be free. That's his quote. In fact, he's misquoted. The exact quote is, information wants to be free, and it wants to be expensive also. And this tension between the two will not go away. Consumers will pay for what they want. I mean, look at the sale of iPhones and iPads in this economy. People are still paying for these devices, and they're not cheap, let's face it. So some information, like newspapers, are no longer valued, at least not valued as highly as they once were. But people will still pay for value. My argument is those entrepreneurs who aren't making any money haven't found something that resonates with the public. They're just not in tune with their market.
The title of my book, No Barrier, stands for there is no barrier to entry in business on the internet. And let's take the topic you just brought up, newspapers. Let's translate that to journalism.
Okay.
How many bloggers are out there that have no clue to what they're writing about? How many bloggers are doing nothing but opinion? And those are being taken as gospel. And why? Because they have found a niche out there that believes them. And it comes to the old thing, well, it's on the internet, so it must be true. You know?
Right.
And it's not. It's so far from true. And what has happened is, because of that, even newspapers and radio and TV stations they need an expert to comment on something, because more and more, because of the internet, real people who are newsmakers don't want to be quoted because they know it's going to go viral, and they don't want that to happen because they're going to get misquoted and they'll get bashed. That's another downside. But so basically, these radio and TV stations they'll go look for an expert. They'll look on the internet and find something that relates to that field. Let's say you need an expert in psychology. Okay, you grab the first person who's willing to talk to you. It happens to be a blogger. Doesn't even have a degree. Never done anything, you know. But, and this is an extreme, but not that extreme. Journalism has suffered because of that, and therefore newspapers have suffered. And with the death of newspapers because of the internet, journalism has become nothing but garbage. I mean, real garbage. And the generation that we're promoting coming up doesn't even know what journalistic standards were. They don't know what the work ethic was. My father had a work ethic, and I dedicated the book to my father because of his work ethic. And he was a home delivery milkman, which doesn't exist anymore. Granted, that wasn't driven out by the internet. That was driven out by another vehicle that made it, corporate America founded a cheaper way to deliver the product, right?
Right, supermarket.
And it got rid of services. But the Internet does it in such exponential and such quick ways that it's worse than corporate America ever used to be. Basically, what we have is a new generation coming up that doesn't even understand what the old business model was. They don't understand that you need to make a reasonable profit so that you can create jobs and expand the business. You don't need to make 2%. You need to make... The old business model was a 50% market or 100% market. You bought a product for $20 and you sold it for $40. That $20 that you profited went to pay bills, went to keep the business alive, went to feed your family, and when you sold enough of those products, you grew your business, and then you were able to take that many, many $20 and hire new employees.
Mm.
The Internet has just gone the other way. I can sit in my home, I can buy a product for $10 and sell it for $11 and claim that I made money. And you know what I did? Now let me go out and buy some groceries. You can't take that to the AMP. It just doesn't work. You know. And you know, people say, well, I'll just do volume. You know, a lot of dollars to make up $1,000 a month mortgage, you know, or that type of thing to feed your family.
True. Now you're talking about profit in a world right now where profit is considered a bad word in many people's vocabulary. My guest is Bob Brill. We're talking about his ebook, No Barriers. Bob, I want to circle back around to journalism for just one more minute, if we can, because that is your sweet spot, your bread and butter. And talk about all of those displaced journalists from the newspapers who have set up blogs themselves. Now, these are credible people who are taking their expertise from the newspapers or from the magazines, and they're going out onto the blog and creating their own blogs. Now, they're credible people, obviously have journalistic integrity, and these are the types of people that are also setting up blogs who can be considered experts in their particular field. So it's given them, people who are out of a job in a traditional newspaper or magazine, an opportunity for them to continue their craft. What do you say to that?
Given the option, they'd rather be working for the newspaper because they're not making the money they need to make to support their family as a blogger. It's not happening. Hmm. You know, you make money on the Internet when you do a blog or something like that because nobody wants to pay for the information. Everybody's tried, and it's finally started, the Wall Street Journal tried and failed. It's finally started to come around now to where if people really want the information, maybe they'll pay for it. And my newsletter, for instance, which I had a few years ago, when it was a fax newsletter, it was a subscription newspaper. And it got faxed twice a week, and people paid for it. And I actually made a living. I made almost $50,000 one year.
Wow.
And then I sold it. And now I tried to bring it back on the Internet later on, many years later, and I tried to charge $3.95 a month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Less than the price of a Big Mac, okay?
Right.
$3.95 a month. Nobody. I think I had 6 subscribers.
Ouch.
I went free. Okay, I went free. I had maybe 75 subscribers. They weren't willing to pay for the information. They wanted the information, but they weren't willing to pay for it. There's many instances like that where, you know, journalists who are now getting out of journalism because they can't make a living because the jobs have dried up. The Internet has not created any journalistic jobs. If you go to the Huffington Post or Examiner.com, which I used to write for,
mm-hmm.
you're working for free. They are not paying you. They will. Their premise is they'll pay you for, I guess, $1 for every 1,000 clicks or something like that. Do a lot of work to get 1,000 clicks to make that buck.
That you do. My guest is Bob Brill. Bob, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I just want to come to the point. Isn't this all just really an example of what Joseph Schumpeter used to call creative destruction? We see it in capitalism all the time.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that at all. I mean, you know, corporate America has done a really good job of destroying much of what we believed was creating jobs and our economy and everything else. But, you know, I mean, no, I'm not saying the Internet is bad. And I'm not even sure there's a way to fix it. One of the suggestions is to do commerce on the Internet, to charge tax or to charge a registration. Now, eBay, for instance, is one of the largest underground, non-taxing economies around.
Right.
There's a whole... If the state of California would give a couple million dollars to the State Board of Equalization and just start sending out bills to everybody in California to track what they're selling on the Internet and in other auctions and stuff, just eBay alone, they would find out there are a large number of people who are selling stuff in the state of California to Californians and are not paying tax. You know that in the state of California, by law, you are allowed to hold 2 garage sales at your home per year without being taxed for it. The law says you can hold 2 garage sales at your home and not take out a permit, not get a resale license. If you do more than 2, you have to have a resale license, which is free, which allows you to pay taxes so the state can bill you every year for what you sold. People on eBay, I'm not going to say the vast majority because I don't know the numbers, the raw numbers, but a very large amount of the people on eBay are not paying sales tax on the stuff they're selling in California. You don't have to sell it if you sell it outside of California. But if you sell it inside California, they're not paying it. I pay mine. Everything I sell on eBay, I track. I pay the State Board of Equalization quarterly taxes. Now, those people are not being taxed. That's an underground economy. Why is it an underground economy? Because eBay, the Internet, has created it. And that's not the only auction house that's out there that's doing that. That's not the only people that are selling stuff on the Internet who are avoiding paying the taxes that you and I pay when we buy something at Best Buy or when we buy something at a local consumer store.
All right. My guest
that's a big part of the problem.
My guest is Bob Brill, author of the e-book, No Barrier, How the Internet Destroyed the World Economy. And Bob, I guess, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, No Barrier?
I want them to take away the understanding that the Internet is not the end-all. There needs to be, while the Internet should be free for information purposes, there needs to be a barrier to doing business. If you're going to go into business, if you don't have any barriers, you are going to destroy other businesses that are doing it in a more legitimate way. One person, and I have a couple of chapters on that, one person can take down a whole industry by screwing up the Internet and screwing up that business by selling on the Internet. And one of the things, if I can just quickly take the time to point out,
sure,
is the United Nations is probably the place where it needs to happen. And the United Nations is running into a problem that for the last 20 years, the World Bank has been funding underdeveloped countries, business in underdeveloped countries, and 3 levels of business. You have the owners of a business who are getting the money from the World Bank to start a business in third world country. You have the bottom level people who are actually the people who are doing work, putting the clothing together, whatever they're doing. And mid-range people who are doing the billing, who are doing the shipping, who are doing all that clerical work. Well, the Internet and the United Nations has found out that the Internet has changed that second dynamic. What's happening is the people at the top are saying, all that other stuff that's being done in the mid-level can be done on the Internet by one person. I don't need people in that middle level. Now, those middle-level people make more money than the lower level. They socialize. They spend more money at local restaurants. They spend more money on local clothing. They buy things. They shop. And they're upper class as far as financially, so they are involved in the social community, in their physical community. They vote. They go out and they campaign. They do all the things that people should do in contributing to their community. That part of the equation is being eliminated. And the United Nations is having a real tough time trying to figure out how to deal with it.
I bet they are. My guest has been Bob Brill of KNX Radio, also author of the book, No Barrier, How the Internet Has Destroyed the World Economy. Bob, if you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They could go to bobbrillbooks.com, and you'll see all my books up there, and just click on the cover of the one you want to find out more about, and it'll take you, 2 of them are being sold on Amazon at the moment. One of them is being sold through bookstores and also on Amazon, the 3 books that I have out there. The newest one is Al Cabo, which is a novel, Al Cabo, Homegrown Terrorist. About the future and the anniversary of 9/11. And, of course, I have my other book, my coffee table book, Fan Letters to a Stripper, Patty Wagontail, which is about baseball player Don Rudolph and his wife, Patty Wagon, a burlesque queen from the 50s. And so they can go to bobbrillbooks.com, or they can look on amazon.com as well. But the easiest way to go would be bobbrillbooks.com, and then that will take you directly to where you can buy and read reviews. And the reviews of the third book, the novel El Cabo, have been really great.
Oh, glad to hear it. Bob, it is always a delight. Thank you for coming back to the show and chatting with us about your latest book. We'll talk to you down the road.
You got it. Thanks, Billy.
Thank you.